Amen. Hallelujah. We believe. Therefore also we speak. Hallelujah. We are speaking believers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's so good we could come together again to see one another's face. Hallelujah. We need to behold the Lord's face, and we can also behold one another's face. So praise the Lord, we're here. So this weekend, in this conference, the subject is God's Economy in Faith. This is a marvelous title. This is just a short title, but this implies a great deal. God's economy, which is in faith. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, the end of the verse, it has this expression, God's economy, which is in faith. Praise the Lord. So, in this conference, we're going to go through four messages that are in this morning revival book that we've been going through recently on God's economy in faith. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go through the last four messages of this morning revival book, this conference training that was given to the brothers. This message is message five in that series, which is speaking by the spirit of faith. And then the other brothers will cover the following messages to the end of the conference. So God's economy is in faith, right? So there's two things here. There's God's economy and there's faith. And these two things, they go together. God's economy is very important. God's economy is actually what the Bible is all about. The Bible reveals to us God's economy. What is God's economy? Well, God's economy is God's household administration. God has a household administration to administer His house. But what does He do in this household administration? He dispenses Himself. He dispenses Himself in Christ. Hallelujah. In Christ. Into His chosen and redeemed people. So this weekend, we want to enjoy much dispensing. Much dispensing of Christ into us. We are all vessels made just to contain Christ. And we need to have Christ dispensed into us. And this is God's economy. So God wants to dispense Himself in Christ into His chosen and redeemed people that He may have a house. God wants a house. House here means family. Right? God has a big family, right? And this family comes out of His dispensing. He may have a house to express Himself. God wants to express Himself. God wants to express Himself through His house. And His house is the church, the body of Christ. So this is God's economy. In brief, this is God's economy. But where is God's economy? How does God's economy work? How can we participate in God's economy? How can God's economy be real to us? Well, these two words are very precious. In faith. God's economy, which is in faith. So this means that faith is a sphere. Faith is a realm in which God's economy operates. If you have faith, you can participate in God's economy. But if you don't have faith, It seems to you as if God's economy doesn't exist. To most of the people in the world, they don't know anything about God's economy. It seems to them there is no such thing as God's economy. Most of them have probably never heard of God's economy. So it's just something totally beyond their comprehension. But if we have faith, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, right, God's economy becomes very real to us. So praise the Lord for God's economy, which is in faith. So this is why we want, through this weekend conference and through the what we've been reading and enjoying in the morning revival in these last few weeks, it's all about faith. If faith is a big topic in the Bible, and you've no doubt seen by going through the outlines and the readings in the weeks that we've done so far, is that faith is covered throughout the whole Bible. Praise the Lord. So we want to see some of these points this weekend. So what I just read to you about God's economy was basically the essence of message one, which is the governing and controlling vision of God's economy in faith. Hallelujah. So message two was on the intrinsic significance of faith. What is the intrinsic significance of faith? Well, faith is the substantiation of God's facts. It is the substantiation of the substance of the truth, which is the reality of the contents of God's New Testament economy. Without faith, the divine facts, the substance of the truth concerning God and concerning God's economy, we can't realize them. They're not real to us. We need something by which we can substantiate everything to do with God and to do with God's economy. Right now, if you look around this room, you can see all the saints. You can see the things that are in this room. Your eyes are substantiating the contents of this room. The contents of this room are real to you because your eyes can look at them, and your eyes substantiate those things to you. But supposing you were blind, supposing you didn't have the ability to see, you wouldn't be able to substantiate what's in this room. You wouldn't know what's in this room. You wouldn't be able to see so many smiling faces in this room, because you would be lacking that substantiating ability. So this is like faith, this is like faith. Faith is a kind of substantiating ability. It makes all the divine facts real to us. So praise the Lord for this substantiating ability. So the second thing about the intrinsic significance of faith, and this is a very wonderful thing, is that faith means that we believe that God is and we are not. Praise the Lord. God is and we are not. What does that mean? It means that God needs to be everything to us. Our whole life depends upon God. All our doing depends upon God. It doesn't depend upon us. We do need to give God our cooperation, but actually, everything comes out of Him. He is the reality. He is the content. We are just the vessel to contain the content. As far as the content is concerned, He is the content. He is. And we are not. We are not the content. We are just a vessel. This is part of the intrinsic significance of faith. I'm so happy to discover that God is and I am not. It doesn't depend on me. It depends on God. I can have faith, I can have confidence, because it depends on God and not on me. Praise the Lord. So this is message two. Message three, praying with God as our faith. So this phrase, have faith in God, in Mark 11:22, means that God becomes our faith through our being mingled with God and being one with God. Then we can pray prayers of authority for the executing of God's economy. And these prayers are the prayers of the overcomers. When we pray, we need to pray with God as our faith. To have faith in God means to have God as our faith. In ourselves, we don't have any faith. But we receive faith. We receive our believing ability. Actually, strictly speaking, I shouldn't just say from God. God is our faith. God is our substantiating ability. So praise the Lord. So when we pray with this faith, with God as our faith. And then our prayers, that they become prayers of authority. And these are the kind of prayers that the overcomers pray. So praying with God as our faith makes us an overcomer. So this is the essence of message three. Then message four, running the Christian race so that we may obtain the prize by looking away unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So this is a wonderful phrase, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. What does this word author mean? This word author in the Greek is very rich. Jesus is the author of faith, the originator, the inaugurator, the source, and the cause of faith. If we don't have faith, we look away to Jesus. He becomes the author of our faith. He becomes the source of our faith. He becomes the originator of our faith. Praise the Lord. In our natural man, we have no believing ability. So we don't have to try to believe. In the matter of believing, we are not, right? But God is. But when we look away unto Jesus, he, as the life-giving spirit, transfuses us with himself, with his believing ability. He becomes our believing ability. We don't have to believe, because he becomes the believing ability in us. And then we believe in him. Hallelujah. Okay, then Jesus also is the perfecter. Perfecter means perfecter, finisher, completer of our faith. As we look away unto him continually, he will finish and complete the faith that we need for running the heavenly race. So as we go on in our Christian life, as we're running the race of the Christian life, we need to run it with faith, right? But the Lord, he's the completer. He's the finisher, right? We will get to the end of the course because he is the finisher. It's not that he starts and then we have to, by our own effort, just carry on and do the best we can and somehow cross the line eventually. It's not like that, right? Every day we exercise our spirit of faith, and in this message we will come to this matter on the spirit of faith, and he will complete our faith. He will finish our faith. He will bring us successfully to the end of the course if we look away to him and take him as our faith. Amen. So that is the essence of message four. And now we come to message five. And message five is speaking by the spirit of faith. Hallelujah. There are three wonderful words here. The first word is speaking. The second word is spirit. And the third word is faith. Speaking by the Spirit of faith. Hallelujah. So if you turn to your outline and look at the outline for this message, which I think is called message one in these outlines. Yeah, message one. You see, speaking by the Spirit of faith. Now, actually, this message is very simple. It's just three Roman numerals. So the first Roman numeral says, our God is a speaking God. Hallelujah. Our God is a speaking God. And we have a number of points to expand on this, that our God is a speaking God. Then you look at the last Roman numeral. It says, Christians are a speaking people. A genuine Christian is a speaking Christian. So you have the speaking God, and you have his speaking people. God is a speaking God, and Christians are a speaking people. So God's people are just like God. God's people do just what God does. God speaks, and God's people speak. Praise the Lord. Then in the middle, you have Roman numeral 2. And you have this is the verse that we pray read just now. Having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. So this is the key. How can we become the speaking God's speaking people? Right? Well, we have something that Paul calls in this verse a spirit of faith. This is the key. We have a spirit of faith. And we will see what this means. But this is a very wonderful thing. This spirit of faith is... let me just read something to you. Okay. Not distinctly the Holy Spirit, but still not merely a human disposition. The indwelling Holy Spirit penetrates and characterizes the whole renewed man. This is something which was written by somebody called Dean Alford. And then another thing, spirit of faith, not distinctly the Holy Spirit, nor, on the other hand, a human faculty or disposition, but blending both. This was written by somebody called Marvin Vincent, right? And then the footnote, this is a footnote on this word, spirit of faith. The spirit of faith is the Holy Spirit mingled with our human spirit. We must exercise such a spirit to believe and to speak. Like the psalmist, the things we have experienced of the Lord, especially his death and resurrection. Faith is in our spirit, which is mingled with the Holy Spirit, not in our mind. What's in our mind? Doubts are in our mind. Here, spirit indicates that it is by the mingled spirit that the apostles lived a crucified life in resurrection for the carrying out of their ministry. So this is the key point for this whole message. We have such a spirit of faith. And this spirit of faith enables us to speak. And what we speak is not just anything. What we speak is what God is speaking. What we speak is what we have experienced of the Lord in his death and in his resurrection. So this is a wonderful thing. So this is the spirit of faith. So God speaks, we have a spirit of faith, and we speak. Amen. Hallelujah. So now I want to kind of come back to Roman numeral 1 and go through the points there. So A says, the whole universe came into being by God speaking. If you read Genesis chapter 1, you'll see again and again, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be this, let there be that, and those things appeared. So the whole universe came into being by God speaking. And Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe has been framed by the word of God. Hallelujah. The universe has been framed by the word of God. So even in his creation, God carried out his creation by his speaking. So this is the first point about the speaking God. And then B says, the essence of the epistle to the Hebrews is God speaking in the Son. So here we have these two verses in Hebrews. It says, God, having spoken of old in many portions and in many ways to the fathers in the prophets, has at the last of these days spoken to us in the Son. So in the Old Testament, God spoke in one kind of a way, in the prophets. And in the New Testament, God speaks in a more marvelous way, in his Son. But anyway, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, it's God speaking, right? God is speaking. But particularly for us today, God, because we are in the New Testament, God is speaking to us in the Son. In the Son of God, God is speaking to us. Hallelujah. So, point number one says, God speaks in the Son speaks as the Spirit to the churches, and ultimately, the Spirit speaks with the church. So, okay, God speaks in the Son, right? This is from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. God speaks in the Son. And then in the book of Revelation, in the first three chapters, you have Christ, the Son of God, speaking to the churches. And there are seven epistles to seven churches, which are the speaking of the Lord Jesus to the churches. So God speaks in the Son, and the Son speaks to the churches. But at the end of each epistle to each church, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So is the Son speaking to the churches, or is the Spirit speaking to the churches? Well, the Son is speaking to the churches as the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So this is the second point. The Son speaks as the Spirit to the churches. But then the marvelous thing is, it says, ultimately, the Spirit speaks with the church. So in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. So now you have the speaking God as the Spirit, and you have his people as the bride, and they're both saying the same thing. So the speaking God and his speaking people have become one. Hallelujah. So the Bible begins with God speaking and it concludes with God speaking. However, at the end, God is not speaking alone. God in the Son as the Spirit is speaking with the church as his bride. The entire Bible from beginning to end is a speaking story. So this is how you get from the speaking God to his speaking people, all speaking together. Hallelujah. Then number two says, it is altogether by this speaking story that God is brought into man and man is brought into God. Hallelujah. What happened when God was brought into man? You know, when the Lord Jesus was incarnated to become a man, it says, the Word became flesh, right? So this is God speaking. It's the Word. And then in John 6:63, the Lord Jesus says, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." So this is through God speaking, through the Lord speaking here, we get spirit and we get life. So God is brought into man and man is brought into God. And it's all together by this speaking story. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So number three says, God speaking to us proves that we are under his blessing. Hallelujah. Okay, yeah, amen. You know, if we have the Lord speaking, we really have the Lord's blessing. Right? So we can see this with a negative example, a contrast, in the book of Samuel, right? So in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And the boy Samuel ministered to Jehovah before Eli. Now the word of Jehovah was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread." So at that time, with the children of Israel, because of the degradation of the house of Eli, who were the priests, God speaking was rare. God didn't speak very much. And this was a kind of judgment upon the degraded house of Israel. So, but then there is Samuel. "Then Jehovah came and stood by and called at, as at the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for Jehovah, for your servant is listening.'" So Jehovah spoke to Samuel. Jehovah found a boy. He found a boy he could speak to. He found a boy who would listen to him. And Jehovah was able to speak. And this was a blessing. And this is what made Samuel what he was. This is what made Samuel the prophet who was able to turn the age from the ages of the judges to the age of the kings. So chapter 3, verse 21 says, "And Jehovah continued to appear in Shiloh. For Jehovah revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of Jehovah." So Jehovah appeared to Samuel, but how did he appear? He appeared by the word of Jehovah. How do we receive the Lord's appearing today as New Testament believers? It's through the word of the Lord. When the Lord is speaking to us, we have his presence. When the Lord is speaking to us, we have his appearing. Praise the Lord. We can't see the Lord, but we have him here right now because we have his speaking. We have his word. And his word is being unfolded to us. And he is speaking in our speaking. And we can all speak for the Lord. And later on in this message, we will see we all can and we all should speak for the Lord. Hallelujah. So this shows that God speaking means if we have God speaking, we are under God's blessing. Hallelujah. So if we want God's blessing, we need more of God speaking. Then number four says, the life of the believers hinges totally upon the Lord speaking. So Matthew 4:4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God." So the word of God is our real food. The word of God is our real sustenance. We are being supplied. We are being sustained by what? By the word of God. So Matthew 17:5 says, Just the, read the end of the verse. This is my son, the beloved, in whom I have found my delight. Hear him. We need to hear the Lord. Today in the New Testament, we don't listen to the Lord. We listen to the Lord. Hallelujah. And then Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 13. My companions, listen for your voice. Let me hear it. May we all hear the voice of the Lord. I hope this weekend we could all have ears to hear the voice of the Lord. When we hear the voice of the Lord, we are under his blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. So number 5 says, the living God imparts and infuses himself into us by speaking. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. God breathes himself out in his word. God breathes himself out in his word so that we can breathe him in. This is how he imparts himself and how he infuses himself into us. So we can see from this how crucial, how necessarily important God's word is to us. So we should never neglect God's word. We should never, we should never neglect God's word. We should always take God's word. And we should just take God's word as it is. Don't argue with the word, just receive the word. Even if you don't understand it, that's okay, just receive it. All right? Say amen to the word of God. When you say amen to the word of God, you get God. You might not understand it, but you get it. Right? It's like when you eat your food, I don't understand it, but if I eat my food, I get the nourishment. Right? Eat the food. Get the nourishment. Amen. Okay. So, Ezekiel 34, verse 4 says, then he said to me, prophesy over these bones. To prophesy means to speak. Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of Jehovah. Thus says the Lord Jehovah to these bones, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. So at that time, God's people were like a pile of dry bones. You know, if you just have bones here, it means death, right? You know, a dead person eventually just becomes bones, right? But when God speaks to the bones, even God speaks to bones, they become living, right? You might be dead. You might be dead as a dead bone. But if you receive God speaking, you will live. Amen. Hallelujah! So there's three particular things which we receive in God speaking. So point A says, when God speaks, light shines. Hallelujah for light. Bringing us understanding, vision, knowledge, wisdom, and utterance. If we want to be in the light, if we want to have understanding, we want to see the vision, we have the knowledge concerning God, have the wisdom of God, and have the utterance, be able to speak what God speaks. First of all, we need God speaking. God speaking will bring us the light. So Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And verse 130 says, the opening of your words gives light, imparting understanding to the simple. So praise the Lord for light. Then B, when God speaks, life is imparted. And this life includes all the divine attributes and the human virtues of Christ. Okay, so we already talked about John 6:63. The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Praise the Lord. And John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then thirdly, when God speaks, power is transmitted. And this is the growing and reproducing power of life. So in Mark chapter 4, the Lord tells this parable about the sower. He says, the sower went out to sow. And in verse 14, it says, the sower sows the word. So this shows that the word is like a seed, right? It has the power to produce growth. And it has the power to reproduce, just like a seed has the power to grow into a living plant and eventually even to reproduce into more living plants. This is the power of life. This isn't the power to do great things. This isn't the power like the power of a nuclear bomb. That's just a destructive power. This is the power of life. Praise the Lord. This power of life is powerful, but in a living way, in a generating way, in a reproducing way. Hallelujah. When God speaks, power is transmitted. Amen. So C says, since God is a speaking God, when he created man in his image, he created man with the ability to speak just like himself. Praise the Lord. In God's creation of man, the most marvelous thing that he created was a spirit within man. Praise the Lord for that. And the second marvelous thing was that man was given the ability to speak. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 says, this is referring to Adam, and the man said, hallelujah, the man said, so the man can speak. Right? This time, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, because out of man this one was taken. So here we see the man created by God speaking, just like God speaks. The man can speak. You know, the idols, they're all dumb. They can't say anything. And all the idol worshippers become dumb. They lose their abilities to speak. But in God's creation, in God's intention for man, God created a man who could speak. And he wants us to speak. Praise the Lord. God clearly shows us clearly in the Bible that his purpose in creating man was that man would speak for him. God wants us to express him and represent him mainly by our speaking for him. As God's representatives, we must speak God's words. Praise the Lord. So these are all the points concerning God being a speaking God. All the wonderful things that happen when God speaks. Praise the Lord. So now we come on to Roman numeral 2. And this is this marvelous verse that we read. Having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Speaking by the spirit of faith in our practical life is a great, crucial point. Spirit of faith is a very particular expression used only once in the Bible. The spirit of faith is a mingling of the Holy Spirit with our regenerated spirit. So there is the Holy Spirit and we have a human spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes into our human spirit, our human spirit is regenerated by the, or with the life of God. And what is produced is what we call a mingled spirit. It is this mingled spirit which is the spirit of faith. The point here, the point that we have to see is that our spirit, our regenerated spirit, is a spirit of faith, right? We don't have faith, right? In ourselves, we don't have faith. Especially, we don't have faith in our mind, right? Doubts are in our mind. If you just stay in your mind, if you just stay in your thinking, if you just stay in your analyzing, you won't have any faith and nothing will make sense to you. But you have another part of your being. As a Christian, you have a regenerated spirit. And this regenerated spirit is a spirit of faith. You have faith. But where do you have faith? You have faith in your spirit. Saints, we have a spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Okay. So the phrase spirit of faith places spirit in opposition to faith. Faith is of the spirit, therefore the spirit of faith is faith. So spirit and faith, they're the same thing, right? So the spirit of faith is faith. Where can you find faith? It's the spirit of faith. It's the mingled spirit that is within you. That's the spirit of faith. And that's where you find faith. So we have to get out of our mind. Don't live in our mind. Get into our spirit. And we will have faith. And then eventually, that spirit becomes the spirit of our mind. So eventually, if we stay in our mingled spirit, in our spirit of faith, eventually we will get saved in our mind. We get saved in our thinking from all the doubting. And we will be full of believing and full of faith. Hallelujah. And yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. So our faith is the mingled spirit. Praise the Lord. Then the next point is, we must exercise such a spirit to believe and to speak, like the psalmist, the things that we have experienced from the Lord, especially his death and resurrection. So in Psalm 22, this is a psalm of David when he was suffering all kinds of negative things were happening to him. And he spoke this psalm. And this psalm begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this is the word that the Lord Jesus spoke, quoting Psalm 22 when he was on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? So this indicates that this psalm is a psalm on the Lord's death and on his resurrection. It's on his resurrection because verse 22 says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. This is referring to Christ declaring his name in the church, declaring his name, the Father's name, to his brothers in the church. Where is this? This is in resurrection. So this psalm is on Christ's death and Christ's resurrection. And it is here. So the psalmist spoke this. I believe, therefore I spoke. And it was altogether in the context of prophetically, Christ's death and Christ's resurrection. So that's that point. So the next point, E, faith is in our spirit, which is mingled with the Holy Spirit, not in our mind. Doubts are in our mind. We've spoken about this. Our believing faith becomes the speaking faith. When we turn to the Spirit, we believe. So we should not wait until we feel that we believe, right? Paul didn't wait until he felt like he believed. Paul was in a situation, we'll see in a moment, where he was experiencing negative things in his environment. And it's in this context that he talks about the spirit of faith, and he quotes from the Old Testament. I believe, therefore I spoke, therefore we believe, therefore also we speak. This is the context in which Paul spoke this. So we should not wait until we feel that we believe. Rather, we should simply speak. When we speak, we will believe. And when we believe, we speak. So this is like a cycle. How do you start this cycle? You start this cycle by speaking. When you speak, you activate the spirit of faith. And then you believe. And because you believe, you speak. And then you believe more, and you speak more, and there's this virtuous cycle going on. Praise the Lord. So our believing faith becomes the speaking faith. When we have the believing faith, we have the speaking. Amen. So then the next point, 2 Corinthians 4, 10 to 13, indicates that it is by the mingled spirit that the apostles lived a crucified life in resurrection for the carrying out of their ministry. From the context of verse 13, we know that Paul was talking about his experience concerning the Lord's death and resurrection. The Apostle Paul testified concerning the putting to death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. In verse 11, he went on to say that we who are alive are always being delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that the resurrection life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Paul also said that death operates in us in order that his resurrection life may be dispensed into others. So this is what Paul is saying in these verses leading up to verse 14. So Paul spoke all these things in the spirit of faith. So he was in the experience of the Lord's death and the Lord's resurrection. And he was experiencing the Lord's death and the Lord's resurrection in the midst of adverse circumstances. Things that were happening to him that we wouldn't consider to be good things. But in that kind of situation, he spoke by his spirit of faith. And it was by this spirit of faith that he was able to face those situations, and he was able to experience the Lord in those situations. So this is how we should be. Paul did not wait for the situation to get better before he spoke by faith. In the midst of negative situations, he still believed and spoke. He realized that the Lord was operating in these situations. So sometimes, actually quite often in our human life, we experience negative situations, we experience negative things. And we might ask, why is the Lord allowing this to happen to me? Well, he is, right? The Lord operates in these situations so that we can experience him in his death to terminate the negative things, and in his resurrection to germinate all the positive things, all the divine things in us. But the key is the spirit of faith, right? If we realize we have a spirit of faith, and if we're willing to exercise our spirit of faith to speak the positive things, to speak the things of God's word. For example, the Bible says God loves us, right? God is love. We have to believe that. Sometimes it might seem to us that God doesn't love us, but the truth is, the fact is, he does love us. And if we declare that God loves us in the face of that kind of situation, then we receive God and we experience the love of God, and our whole being is strengthened with faith to believe that God loves us in spite of what appears to be what we can see. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And there are other, you know, you can, all the positive things you can think of. You know, we can and we should declare the positive facts that are revealed to us in the Bible. God is able to save us to the uttermost, right? I was trying to remember what they were, and that's another one, right? God is able to save us to the uttermost. When we're tempted to think, oh, I'm a failure. Oh, I'll never get through. Oh, look, you know, I'm kind of, you know, it's hopeless. Well, yes, with us it's hopeless. But don't forget that Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith. He's the completer of our faith. We rely on him. We have faith in him that he will save us to the uttermost. When we believe this, when we speak this, we experience this. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Paul spoke all these things in the spirit of faith. So, H says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the preaching of the word. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call upon him into whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe into him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without one who proclaims him? So we need to hear God's word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Which is the verse for the next point? The source of faith is the word. This is why we must get into the word. But this is why we need to read the Bible. And not just read the Bible, but we need to pray read the Bible. We need to pray with the Bible, pray over the Bible, so that in our coming to the Bible, we also come to the Lord. And we touch the Lord. And through this, we receive faith. Through this, faith is infused and imparted into us. So number two says, the more we get into the word, the more we will have faith, and this faith is in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Number three, by the Spirit of faith, we may speak the word that is the source of our faith. Number four, here is a cycle. The word produces faith, faith is the Spirit, and by this Spirit, we can speak the word. The source of faith is the word. Hence, we must be in the word daily. Hallelujah. So now we come to number three, Romans 3. Christians are a speaking people. A genuine Christian is a speaking Christian. So we've seen that God is a speaking God, and that we have a spirit of faith. So it's through the exercise of this spirit of faith that we can become a speaking person. And we need to become a speaking person. So A says, the speaking God created the universe. Praise the Lord, we saw that. And continues to do all things through his speaking. We've also seen this. Therefore, everyone who has been saved has been begotten of God, praise the Lord, and has his life. Everyone who has been saved, has been begotten of God, has his life, should learn to speak for him and to speak his word. So This is not just for people who stand here and speak. This is for all of us, right? We all have to become speakers of God's word. We all have to learn how to speak God's word, and we all can speak God's word. We might not all speak God's word here like this, but we can speak to God's word to our family members, to our friends, to our neighbors, to anybody and everybody, right? We must learn to speak God's word, and we can speak God's word. As Christians, we are all able to speak for the Lord. So, there is a verse. I can't quite find it here. It says, you can all prophesy one by one. Prophesy means to speak for God, right? We can all speak for God one by one. We can. This is what the Bible says. We can believe it. We need to believe it. We can speak the word of God. We can speak for God, even we can speak for God, and we can speak God into people. Amen. See, we need to realize that as believers, we have been made witnesses of the living Christ. Witnesses are speakers. So Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So a witness, you can't be a witness if you don't speak, right? A witness is somebody who sees something and then speaks about what they have seen, right? That may be like in a news report, they go and interview people, some incident happened, and the reporters, they go and interview people and say, tell us what you saw. And the people say what they saw about the incident. So they're a witness. But to be a witness, they're speaking. Then in the court of law, they call witnesses, and they ask the witnesses, what did you see? And then the witnesses have to speak and tell the court what they saw. So we are witnesses of Christ. We have seen Christ. We have seen Christ with our spiritual eyes. So we need to speak what we have seen. We need to tell people what we have seen. This is witnesses. Number one, a witness is a speaking one. One who only speaks things concerning the one he is testifying. So we only speak about Christ because Christ is the one that we have seen. We should speak God's word in season and out of season for the carrying out of God's eternal economy. We are his witnesses. We have to speak him, speak for him, and speak forth him on every occasion. Then D, in the church meetings, all the saints should be speakers. Oh, this is where the verse is. 1 Corinthians 14:31. You can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And then verse 26 says, what then, brothers, whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. So we all have something. We all have something to speak, and we need to all bring our something to the meeting and speak it. And what is the result of this? The building up of the church, because Paul says at the end of this verse, let all things be done for building up. That means when we speak in this kind of way, the church is built up. Praise the Lord. Number one, as speaking people, we should not be dumb or silent, for the God whom we worship is the speaking God. Christian meetings should be full of mutuality in speaking. As members of the body of Christ, we need to be filled in spirit. So Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit. That with which we are filled will overflow from within us. This overflow is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord. This is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. We can speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's why, you know, when we have the hymns, we don't just sing the hymns. We do sing the hymns, but we also speak the hymns. We declare the hymns. This is scriptural. This is according to the Bible. We need to speak psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another, as well as singing them. And this is the overflow. Praise the Lord. If we are filled in spirit unto the fullness of God, we will spontaneously speak to one another concerning Christ. Therefore, speaking is the way of overflow. So we get filled up with Christ, we get filled up with the Spirit, and we need to overflow. And we overflow by speaking. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:13 reveals that Christ has baptized us in the Spirit into the body, and now we are all drinking of the Spirit. For also in one Spirit you are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and were all given to drink one Spirit. We are in the Spirit, and the Spirit is in us. This makes us fully qualified, hallelujah, fully qualified and able to function in the meetings by speaking for the Lord and even by speaking Him forth. So this is our qualification. Our qualification for speaking is that the Spirit is in us, we are in the Spirit, and we have a spirit of faith. Praise the Lord. So we can all speak by the spirit of faith. We all have a spirit of faith. And because we have a spirit of faith, we can use this spirit of faith, and we should use this spirit of faith to speak for God, to speak forth God, and to speak God into others. This is how God's economy is carried out. This is how the church is built up. So praise the Lord for speaking by the spirit of faith. Amen. Amen.